Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
So, we're in the process of going through 1 Corinthians, right? And today, we're going to start a new chapter, 1 Corinthians 6. But before we start 1 Corinthians 6, we're gonna kind of pause for a second because we're seeing how the Corinthian church, the core root of all of their different difficulties that they're struggling with is because of their lack of understanding of the gospel and how it directly affects their daily lives, right? And that aspect is going to show up again when it comes to 1 Corinthians 6, where they're talking about lawsuits, you know, suing one another, and all this kind of craziness that they're going through, right? But in order for us to understand, because it's easy for us to say, you know, okay, so we're not supposed to sue each other, but why is that such a big deal in perspective of the gospel? What does the gospel have to do with not suing one another, right? And so because of that, we're going to take some time ourselves as a church family to understand the aspect of the gospel that they missed. When we understand the gospel clearly in light of how they're going through their difficulties, everything will make perfect sense. So that's kind of what we want to do today, is to look at the gospel. And really and truly, this is one of the things, man, going through 1 Corinthians has really been helpful for us to see how immersive the gospel is in our day-to-day lives as followers of Jesus, right? The good news of Jesus is what sustains us all throughout our walk as Christians. From the moment we meet Jesus, when we put our faith in Him, to the moment we see the gospel fully accomplished as we see Jesus face to face. The gospel gives us the right perspective to see who we are in Jesus. It gives us direction and focus as we walk step by step with Jesus. It gives us the power to overcome temptation of sin as we abide in Jesus. It gives us peace and comfort through hard times, again, as we are shepherded by Jesus. And it gives us hope for what is in store for us. And all these different ways we see the gospel immersing itself into our daily walk as followers of and followers with Jesus, right? So that's what we want to look at today. How does the gospel immerse itself in my dealings with my brothers and sisters in Christ? And what is it that they missed that I need? That's kind of what we're going to look at today. So in order for us to understand that, we're not actually going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 6 at all. We're going to be looking at a different aspect of it. And one of the things that we understand is all of the ways that the gospel gives us blessings. How does the gospel bless us? How does the fact that we are saved by Jesus bless us? And we know the blessings of the past in that we have forgiveness of our past sins. All of the sins that we have committed in our past have all been forgiven, and we have been given the righteousness of Jesus, right? We receive blessings in the present in the fact that we have grace to overcome sin. Even now, we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, giving us things like joy, peace, love, gentleness, and goodness. But we also have future blessings from Jesus, right? And these future blessings are so much better that the present and past are simply like shadows of what's to come. So that's kind of what I want to focus on a little bit as a church family, to remind ourselves of these future blessings, okay? And as all do other blessings do, it all starts with Jesus. Jesus is the core of our future blessings. And the aspect of Jesus being the source and from whom our future blessings are encompassed in happened because Jesus was willing to humble himself, to die on the cross for us. And then one day, because he was willing to do that, he will be exalted above all things. Everything will be part of his kingdom, and Jesus will be the ruler of it. This is kind of what we're going to talk about. There's a couple of passages that refer to Jesus being willing to humble himself, come to the cross, die for us, to experience our death that he took on himself. And because he was willing to do that, Jesus is going to be glorified and magnified as King of Kings. Philippians 2 talks about it. Hebrews 2 talks about it. Write those down and look those up this week because they're really good. But today we're going to look at Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, which are probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I go back to these passages of Scripture a lot because they're so good, because they're so, they bring so much hope and like, I can't wait aspect of heaven. Ephesians 1, we're going to look at 18. Ephesians 1, 18 says, let's go to 17 too. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. One day, Jesus is going to reign over all things as King of Kings. He will rule all things with power and wisdom and authority. And his kingdom will be over everything that he has ever created. Everything that has ever been created will be under his kingdom. And it's important to remember that this kingdom isn't just the limited to the physical realm, but it's also like, you know, the things like we can see, like people and planets. But it also includes the invisible realm, a spiritual realm, a realm that is just as real as we are. But because of our limitations, we're not aware of it. We can't see it. Every created being, every created thing will be under Jesus' reign. But not only does Jesus reign over all things, but it also extends over all time. This is awesome. Jesus will reign forever. He is so great. He is so mighty and so powerful that no one will ever be able to take away his throne from him. Forever. From the moment he claims his kingdom, there will never be again in time, there will never again be a time in which Jesus will not reign. Think about that. His kingdom will last forever. And he will be the ruler of all things. This great and glorious king is our Savior Jesus. The question is, where do we fit on all of this? How does that affect us? This is the talk. This is what we're going to be looking at in the aspect of our future blessings, and it's amazing. It's amazing. The first thing is this: we get to be citizens of this kingdom. Philippians 3 says this. Look with me in Philippians 3. Philippians 3. We're going to be jumping back and forth to different passages of Scripture because there's different passages that highlight different aspects of our future. Philippians 3 and verse 20 and 21 says this. for our conversation, and that conversation is referring to our citizenship. Our conversation, our life, our living will be in heaven, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he going to do as his citizens to us? He says, who will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. This is awesome. The same power with which he was resurrected, with the same power that he will rule, in that same power, Jesus is going to change us. We will be recognized by every other being as ones who belong to King Jesus. We will be his people. We will be citizens of his kingdom. And with being citizens come all the rights and privileges of being citizens of the kingdom of Jesus. Think about that. That's awesome. There are rights and privileges that we do not have access to because we are not citizens of Japan. And there are rights and privileges that we have access to because we may be citizens of America or another country, right? But think of this. Think about Paul as a Roman citizen. Like in the different ways in which he had rights and privileges that other people did not have. We will be citizens, full-blown citizens of the kingdom of Jesus. If there's one citizen you want to be, it is that kingdom. We get access to that. But citizenship is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Let's go back to Ephesians 1. We'll find something else very interesting. Ephesians 1. And we read over it just a little bit. Ephesians 1, actually, no, 11. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. We're going to discover that God has given us something amazing, not just as citizens of Jesus' kingdom, but also as children of our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 1 and 11 and 12. In whom, this is Jesus, in Jesus also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We have an inheritance. Not only are we full-blown citizens, but we also have, God has already prepared an inheritance for us as his children. And he's already got it all planned out. And it's going to be amazing. And all of this inheritance is ours because of his magnificent grace towards us. And we didn't do anything for it. All we did was put our hope, put our trust in Jesus. And here's the thing, even now, the Holy Spirit confirms to us that we are the inheritors of the kingdom of God. Romans 8. Jump with me to Romans 8. Romans 8 tells us about how the Holy Spirit even now confirms the result of this hope, this trust that we have in Jesus. Romans 8, 16. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And what? Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This is the grace that God gives to us. The privilege that he has allowed us to partake in. What? Think about this. That we who were in conflict with Jesus. We were in our own. We were. The Bible describes us as enemies of the Heavenly Father. And yet Jesus, in his grace and his kindness toward us, being so gracious as this. We read about this in Ephesians 1. We're in Romans 8, right? Jump back to Ephesians 1. We're doing a lot of jumping back, but man, I tell you what, if you tie all these things together, it's so beautiful. Ephesians 1:18. This is what we read, right? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, that hope, that trust that we have in Jesus, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is an inheritance that is rich, it's glorious, it's magnificent. And by rights, it should only belong to Jesus. But by grace, Jesus chooses to share his inheritance with us. Just as Jesus' rule, his kingdom will last forever, so also his inheritance will last forever. There will be no end to the exceeding riches of the grace that Jesus gives to us. Bethany was telling me this story about a man that had visited their church. It was an incredible, he had a massive fortune, right? And he constantly was giving things to people, like in the church and, you know, different, you know, he like $200 tips at a restaurant, you know. He was constantly giving things and he said, and Bethany was saying, the thing he always said is, it doesn't matter because I'm making more than I'm gonna ever able to spend. I have more coming in than I will ever be able to spend. And so that constant, continual gift of grace flowed through his life. Can you imagine? This is a lot like what it will be for us in heaven. The flow of grace coming to us will never end. We will never outspend the grace that God gives to us. It will go for on forever in eternity. So one day, when Jesus becomes the King of all things, we will not only be citizens of this great kingdom, we will also be heirs with Jesus of this great kingdom. But it's still too soon to assume that Jesus is done, that God is done bestowing on us his grace. Go back to Ephesians 1 and we will discover that there is something so incredibly wonderful. I hate to say the word hard to believe, but it's almost hard to believe that God is this gracious to us. Ephesians 1:22. You know what? So we understand what's going on. Let's read 22. On 20 and 21. According to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So Jesus is sitting at the Father's right hand in heaven, far above all principality, all power and might and dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Who is giving what to who? God is giving Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. God is giving Jesus to the church. If anything, it would be awesome if it were the opposite, right? That he gives the church to Jesus. But he says God gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. Why? Which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. What is he talking about here? He's describing a position that is much more than simply citizens of a kingdom. Much more than co-heirs of God's goodness. He's describing a very close, very tight connection to Jesus. And the next chapter gives us another glimpse of what he's talking about. So go to chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 6 says that he raised us up together with Christ, not like us as a group, but us together with Jesus. This is important to understand where what the together aspect is. He raised us up with Jesus and made us sit together with Jesus in heavenly places in Jesus. Where is Jesus sitting? In heaven right now, that we just read in Ephesians 1, he is set at the right hand of God. And then God gives us the privilege of sitting with Jesus on the throne. Here's what this means. Jesus is saying, in this passage, we are understanding that not only is Jesus going to share his inheritance with us, but that he is also going to share his kingdom ruling with us. This means not that the kingdom is too big for him to rule himself. It is simply another way in which God displays his goodness, his kindness, and his graciousness to us. And it isn't only here that describes this sharing of the kingdom that Jesus gives to us. In Scripture, Daniel 7, where we see all different prophecies of Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, also describes a future ruling of his believers, of his followers. Daniel 7, look at verses 21. Look at verse 21 and 22, and then we'll jump down to 27. 21 says, I beheld in the same horn, this horn is describing the Antichrist, okay? And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. This judgment is talking about rulership. Given to the saints of Most High until, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. If you consider the reality of what this means, if you think about where we are now, we're so finite, we're so ignorant of so many things in the physical world, much less the spiritual world. Think of how little we know about the spiritual world. I mean, we have hardly any understanding. We're not nearly as high up the totem pole, for lack of a better word, as we think we are, oftentimes. And yet God, in his love and his grace towards us, simply because we are in Jesus, has chosen to one day elevate our position even above the angels themselves. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2:5 says this, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Unto the angels hath he put not in subjection the world to come. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Think about it. We're small. We're finite. We're like in a billion planets. We're one little planet. And in billions of people, we're such a small people. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. We're lower than the angels. But thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. And this is true. When God created us, Adam and Eve, he created us to have dominion over the things that he created. Verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Now we have lost our dominion because of our sin. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. What does that mean? Jesus came to where we are. Jesus came to where we are for the suffering of death. What happened? Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Here's the thing. Our future is incredibly bright. We are citizens of an eternal kingdom. And all the rights and privileges that come with being a citizen of the kingdom of Jesus. We share heirship with this King, with Jesus, our King, in his glory and majesty, all things that belong to Jesus, he shares with us. But not only that, he shares his rulership with us who are nothing. He elevates us to a position above angels where we will have rulership over all things, not just over earth, but all things, even spiritual. This is the King of Kings. And it is only because of his grace and his love and his goodness and kindness towards us that he gives us this. Right? And the question is, this great kingdom for which we have an intimate part because of Jesus' grace, how does that tie into the kingdom of earth? We're going to find that out next week. We're going to see how the kingdom of heaven is in conflict with the kingdom of earth. But for today, let's just think about the fact that we are citizens of heaven. Co-inheritors with Jesus, and will one day be co-rulers because of Jesus' grace to us. Not because of anything that we have, not because of anything that we are, but only and solely because of his grace to us. Your future is bright. God has given you so much. Literally, like Paul, the sufferings that we have in this world are so light in comparison to the weight of glory which we will receive. Be thankful that you are in Christ. All that you are, all that you have, is because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise him for that. Meditate on that. Glorify him for what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do through you. Let's pray.